Get in the game with the college-branded Venmo debit card. Rec your team with every tap and earn up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash, a new rewards program from Venmo. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, just school pride and spending power. Get in the game and sign up for the Venmo debit card at venmo.com/collegecard. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Select schools available. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply at venmo.me/stash terms. Max $100 cash back per month.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
There are so many games that come down to the final shot.
Mullins, three, he got it! Oh, he got it!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Michigan wins the Midwest region.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, ESPN college basketball analyst Andrea Carter. Illinois head coach Brad Underwood, director Antoine Fuqua, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hey everybody, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We talked to Jay Billis in hour number one, the great director Antoine Fuqua, who has got a movie, Michael, on Michael Jackson, coming up later this month. He's on in studio hour number three of this program. Brad Underwood, who's fighting Illini, has moved on to take on UConn. What a game that was against Duke. A rough day for Duke, losing that way against UConn on the men's side of things. On the women's side of things, they looked to seem to have UCLA's number yesterday in the Elite Eight contest in Sacramento, but UCLA pushed the pedal to the metal in the second half to join UConn in half of the women's Final Four that will be decided tonight. Fort Worth, Texas, the site of Michigan taking on Texas at 7 Eastern time, and then South Carolina and TCU in the Sacramento region. That's going to be on ESPN tonight. And joining us to talk about all that and potentially something else is Andrea Carter, the Emmy-nominated Andrea Carter. Hey. Good to see you back here on the program. How are you, Andrea? Good to see you.
I am great. You know, when I was asked if I wanted to come on the show, I was like, maybe not. But then I realized okay, I'm not someone that ducks smoke. I'm not going to duck smoke. We had a little, bet, and so here I am.
We did. But I want it to be known, in reference to the Michigan Tennessee matchup that we did get on the men's side as opposed to the women's side. I invited you before the game even tipped off, so it could have been be on the wrong side of the smoke. But we'll get to that in a second. It is good to see you nonetheless. What did we learn from the UConn and UCLA victories that we saw over the weekend?
Wow. I mean, let's start with Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I do think that Connecticut was tested in Fort Worth. Just the games that they had to go through, even, you know, with North Carolina and with Notre Dame. You heard Gino say that he didn't like anything about that matchup with Hannah Hidalgo. And how special was Hannah Hidalgo on this run and Notre Dame? And a couple of things, though, with UConn. One, Sarah Strong's versatility, to me, just I've spoken about it before, but, you know, Hannah Hidalgo, just as an example, is such a pest to guards when she's defending the ball. So what does Gino do? He just has Sarah Strong bring the ball up the floor because, yes, she's a post player, but she has guard skills. And so her ability to bring the ball up the floor and go through guard actions, the offense can still flow because she can play that position. Mm-hmm. I also thought it was really interesting. Notre Dame wasn't guarding Sarah Williams when she was on the floor at all. And so Gino in the second half goes with Jana L. Alfie instead because she's more of a perimeter threat that can knock down shots as a big. So the pieces and the depth that Gino has at his disposal, that's another thing that we learned. And Blanca Quiñones, to me, was the biggest difference maker. In a couple of games where AZ Fudd struggled knocking down shots, give North Carolina and Notre Dame credit for running AZ Fudd off the line. Yes, she could hit mid-range jump shots, but her three-pointers are what kills opponents. They run her off the line. She had a quiet day. And Blanca Quiñones comes in off the bench and is huge for UConn. So to me, we learned a lot about Sarah Strong's versatility and also UConn's depth and the players and pieces that Gino can sort of plug and play as he figures things out. I loved what he said post-game about this being his 25th Final Four, but it's the first for a few of his players, right? He's like, this is 25 for me, but this is the first for Kaylee Heckel. This is the first for Blanca Quiñones, which I just think is really special. So that's what I learned about UConn. Hats off to Hannah Hidalgo. What an incredible season. Hats off to Duke for fighting against UCLA. And like you said, having their number for the majority of that game. Mm-hmm. But with UCLA, the impact and the toll it takes on a team to defend Lauren Betts, like to try and front, to try and push her out, it wears you down. Lauren Betts' presence, she's more mobile this season, but to me, her presence on the floor wears opponents down. Maybe they can keep her at bay for a first half, but then once her team locked in and was figuring out ways to get her the ball, the moment to me that I loved in that game was, I believe it was Charlize Leger-Walker. It's a sideline out of bounds. Lauren Betts is posted up on the block, and it's a lob pass from the sideline to Lauren Betts on the inside. And it was at that point I was like, they just have no answer for Betts. So, I think Betts' impact, Sarah Strong's versatility, Geno's depth, and give UCLA credit. Like, that was a game where Duke had nothing to lose. All of the pressure was on UCLA. They could have folded under the pressure that Duke was putting on them, and instead they got the win. So I was impressed by both teams.
Yeah, that inbounds play, Andrea. My wife coaches my daughter in a league here in Los Angeles, and my daughter is a great inbounder of the basketball, and one of her teammates is a left-handed, tall young lady, and my wife made a note of trying to install that very play that you're referring to, that because that was great. And they you know, Corey Close came with a ton of different ways to utilize Betts in that second half, and free her up and get UCLA to the Final Four here. And so you know, the one thing though that a lot of people are talking about regarding UConn and Gino from the weekend is what he had to say before the game against Notre Dame, after that Elite Eight contest had been set up, talking about the way the tournament is set up. And I'd love to play some of this sound for you and get your reaction, because he was talking about the poor three-point shooting that he had seen over the two previous nights in the women's game, and then talked about the why.
Know what our time our shoot-around was yesterday? 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:20, I think. For half an hour. Now this morning, I just saw Notre Dame leaving. So they have media this morning. Their practice time is tonight at 5:30. What did you have to ask them this morning that you didn't ask them last night? Or us? You know what time our practice time is? 6:30 tonight. So we had to get our kids up, come over here. You already knew who we were playing last night. But we can't get on the court. And neither can the other teams. Walls have media at 7:30, I think. Does anybody who makes these decisions ever ask the coaches and the players, hey, does this work? Do you guys do this during the regular season? Is this normal?
You also talked about new, fresh basketballs being popped right out of the box and handed to the players, and that's why a lot of these balls are bouncing all over the place and potentially not going in the hoop. Do you agree, Andrea?
I do agree with Gino, 100%. I mean, I imagine as a player, just putting my mind, obviously I've never coached before, but being a player, shoot-around times are important. Getting familiar with not just the rims, but also what's behind the rims, also the environment that you're going to be shooting in, all of those things play into your performance in the game. And also, I remember when I was a player, and this was during the regular season, I don't remember it in the tournament, but you know, the referees would give us a few different basketballs, and you would get to dribble with one, and you could be like, okay, I like this this one, and then the other opponent's captain would get to dribble with one and be like, I like this one, and you could choose which one felt the best. I don't know if they do that at the tournament. It doesn't sound like, from what Gino's saying, that that's something that they do, but to me, the scheduling aspect of it and how packed everything is and the timing of things and the shoot-arounds that are only 30 minutes long, and it doesn't promote the best product on the floor, because players and their familiarity with the arena is a big deal. I mean, it's the reason why NBA teams, WNBA teams, they get into arenas the day of a game and they shoot around. Even if it's just a one-on-one workout, a lot of players like to go and have time in the gym that they are going to be in and have time with the basketballs that they're going to use. I mean, think of anybody in any profession. You want reps with the tools you're going to be using for that profession, right? Like, no business person is going to hop on for the first time and use an entirely new system that they're not used to, right? Or a system that has little tweaks that they're not used to, right? You want to familiarize yourself with your tools. And so I agree with Gino. I hope they figure out something else, whether it's, you know, just media post-game and no media in the morning. That way there's more time for shoot-arounds or whatever the schedule needs to be to have the players feeling ready to perform their best. The situation is already so pressure filled. Like, these games, it's win or go home. You're already nervous. The only thing that really can help you feel better, to me, when I was a player, was getting out on the court, having time on the court to visualize yourself out there, to feel where you are, to see your teammates, and just imagine playing in the game in that space. And from what Gino is saying, it sounds like that time is very limited, in addition to new rims, in addition to new basketballs. So it's like, how many variables are we going to give these players and then ask them to be great on TV when the lights are the brightest and there's the most pressure on their shoulders? So it's interesting. I do hope that from here, certain things are tweaked so that the players can be valued and the players can feel their best going into these games.
Yeah, all that came from him saying about how important it is to grow the game, right?
Yeah.
And he was saying, how can we grow the game when we're shooting threes like this? Because the, you know, the shoot around times are weird. And I understand the concept of more media could be helpful in terms of growing the game. But do you think someone's going to listen? I mean, as you point out, his numbers are ridiculous. You know, like 25th Final Four. It's nuts, you know, that somebody of his stature feels the need to utilize his media time to get someone's attention that should already be, you know, locked in on something like this, right?
Yeah, it's especially interesting coming from Gino, because all of these variables seem to affect other teams more than his, considering how much success he has had in getting to the Final Four. You know, like, his teams, you could say, have overcome these variables more than anybody else.
Right.
But I do think that it probably means even more, because it would be different if a coach whose team doesn't make it or whose team loses or doesn't have success, then of course that coach is going to have some complaints or something to gripe about to try and give their players a little bit more of an edge, right? But Gino's sitting here saying, like, this isn't fair for anybody. And I'm having success with it, but I would like to see our product look better on the floor from everyone and from the competitors and who we're playing. And so yeah, I do think it's interesting coming from Gino. And again, hopefully it changes. You know, I know you said the media, you know, that helps promote the game, but I liked what Gino said in terms of, you have media post game and then you have media the next day in the morning. How much could really change overnight?
Yeah, we talk about aspect. Breakfast. How was your night's rest? You know, I get it. I see.
So in terms of, and the thing is too, even if, let's say, you're interviewing the team and you don't know their opponent, you know, maybe you could ask a question about, if you play this team, what's the focus? If you play this team, what's the focus, right? Like, you got to find a way to get as many questions as you can the night before. And then maybe it's just something that we try, right? Maybe it's something that we try to do and see if that helps the scheduling, because at this point, why not? But I don't necessarily, and I'm part of the media, I don't necessarily see the importance of media session at night and a media session in the morning. I mean, you're getting these kids up after they just played and they're late and they need rest and they need sleep to ask them more questions that you probably could have asked them the night before. That's just my opinion, but yeah, we'll see what happens from here.
Doubleheader to complete the Final Four tonight, Michigan, Texas. You're in Fort Worth for that, 7 Eastern time, and then South Carolina and TCU after that. What are you expecting to see?
Oh, I'm so excited for these matchups. I've been blown away by your Michigan team. I said this in our show yesterday. I thought Michigan would be here, but I didn't think they would look as poised as they've looked on the way here. The way that these sophomores are playing, and I know we talk a lot about Swords and Olsen and Holloway. I thought Delphos was huge in that game. She's a sophomore as well. Dudley had some moments. Like, for this group that's pretty young, the poise that they have will be put to the ultimate test against this Texas defense. I mean, this is a Vic Schaefer team. Vic Schaefer has had his hands in his defense no matter where he is, no matter what school he's at, whether it was Mississippi State and he had success there, now at Texas. I mean, this defense is relentless. So the poise that we've seen from Michigan, that'll be tested against Texas. But I'll say these Michigan players, they're fearless. Like, Silas Swords is missing shots in the first half, and it's like she forgets all about it. She has the shortest term memory. It's just not there. She doesn't remember any mistakes, the way she's able to put it behind her. I mean, Olivia Olsen a couple games ago, scoreless in the first half, 27 points in the second half. Like, the way that they just move on to the next play, Michigan will have to do that against Texas. South Carolina will be tested. Their on-the-ball defense with ball screens will be put to the ultimate test. It's something that Coach Staley has talked to me about throughout the season. She's like, our ball screen defense has to get better. Our ball screen defense has to get better. There's no better time than now to have their ball screen defense down, because Olivia Miles she's the truth. When it comes to using ball screens, Joyce Edwards will have to be phenomenal. That's Olivia Miles there. And Joyce Edwards will be tested a little bit. TCU has size on the inside with 6'7", Clauda Silva. Marta Suarez and Olivia Miles are on fire. But I was blown away by South Carolina guards against Oklahoma. If South Carolina guards, particularly Raven Johnson, Tessa Johnson, and Tania Latson, if those three play with the confidence collectively and the offensive aggression, that to me is going to be the key for South Carolina, not just beating TCU, but potentially beating UConn and potentially winning a national championship, is their guards and the confidence that we saw in their last game.
Okay. Andrea Carter, you mentioned Michigan poise. I think I have been the avatar for that throughout the first 15 minutes of this conversation.
Yeah, you have.
Previously on the Rich Eisen Show, Andrea Carter, you were on this program on behalf of Reese's, and we had this exchange about a possibility of Michigan taking on Tennessee in both the men's and women's NCAA tournament. Hit it.
If your bracket busts for Reese's, you get Reese's, and you also get to sing Rocky Top for me. So there we go.
Oh, okay. So what do you – so you have to sing the victors and Reese's – for me, right? Is that what you got?
That song. There we go.
Okay. I like it. This is for both the men and women. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
I look forward to the next time you're on the show, which is probably on Monday. What it looks
Start
like.
Start researching the lyrics for Rocky Top. Okay. I'll send them to you, actually.
All right. So, sure enough, our alma maters faced each other in the Elite Eight on the men's side of things. I have here.
Yes.
The Reese's. Okay. Because again, I'm trying to do you right here, Andrea. Here we go. Yeah. Do you have the floor since there was a big win?
I couldn't tell you a single word of this fight song. You know what? Let me just look. What's the Michigan fight song even called? Does it have a name?
Yeah. Boy, it's called The Victors.
The Victors.
Here we go.
Okay, give me a second here. I don't even know the tune. Let me look up the.
I'll take a dramatic reading, Andrea. That's fine. A dramatic reading is good enough.
Does it start with hail?
It's.
Is that what's happening?
It does. Hail to the victors. It's called hail. You know, hail to the victors. Go for it.
Hail to the victors, valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the best. Hail, did I get it? Am I on the right
tune? No, keep going. Hail,
hail to the victors valiant. Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the champions of the West.
That's good enough. Yeah. It gets a little repetitive there, but that's good enough.
Yeah. There's no other lyrics.
Well, You know,
it's not a Biggie song.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. there are some other lyrics, but the bottom
Rocky
line
Top
is
at least has like verse one, chorus, verse two. Yeah. Like for as victorious of a organization that Michigan is, this is pretty subpar.
Well, no, or we call it short work, like Michigan made of Tennessee on Sunday.
Boy,
Andrea, could be that.
Yes,
as well,
Rich walked into that one.
Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
Salt in the wounds. And just like that, Andrea's last day on the Rich Eisen show.
Come on. This is called friendly. This is what we do.
No, this is great. This awesome. Is great. I will see you next season. Matter of fact, how's baseball? How's softball? We can run this back no
we
matter
do
what
it.
Sport it is.
We
Tennessee's
can,
an everything school, in
we
case
can do
you
it.
Were wondering.
Understood. And, speaking of everything school, if Michigan takes care of Texas tonight, that's men's and women's just like UConn. But UConn does not have a team in the Frozen Four in the NCAA tournament like Michigan does. So we're on a roll. We're like butter, as Stuart
said. I'll see you come baseball, softball. We'll run this back all the time, and I'll actually look up the song. I was so confident in Tennessee, I didn't even look up the song.
Last minute Googling by Andrea Carter, the Emmy-nominated analyst that we will be seeing tonight. I look forward. I'll be watching tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Andrea Carter right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kind enough to join us. Let's take a quick break because Brad Underwood is going to be zooming in right here. I don't know the lyrics to the Ilana. Let's look it up. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
End of the day, I've said it helped my kids. They became very worldly. They had to learn to make new friends in every spot. And to this day, they've got friends literally in every spot. So it worked out great. But my wife deserves most of the credit. She raised our kids.
What's her name?
Susan.
Brad Underwood here on the Rich Eisen Show, the worst half of the Underwood family after the Illini makes the Final Four here. And you're just talking about your journey. Community colleges too, right? I mean, junior colleges, universities, all over the map for you.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Kansas, and junior college basketball was a big deal in Kansas. Sure. And I played there in junior college for a year. I was fortunate. Played in the national championship game at Independence Community College. Then had an opportunity to go coach in that league. And that was back when qualifiers and non-qualifiers had to go to junior college. We had great talent. But I was a 24-year-old who got a head coaching job in Dodge City, Kansas, and thought I knew everything and found out I didn't know anything. And when it came to coaching, and You know, making $25,000. I'm the audio visual coordinator as well. You know, that meant I inventoried all the VCRs on campus. But it was wow. It was what you did. And yeah. you didn't even blink. And you know, I cut my teeth in junior college basketball. I say this all the time. One of the best jobs I've had was Daytona Beach Community College. The only day it was a bad day was payday. You know, we raised our kids. We went to the beach on weekends and had a lot of fun in every stop.
So I guess it makes sense that somebody that's as well traveled as you would be recruiting people from Croatia, Serbia, Greece, right? I mean, you're Mr. Frequent Flyer. It looks like right now, huh?
Let's not put any boundaries on where good players are. Right. And NIL obviously helped change some of that, sure. But they fit us. I love coaching those guys. They're extremely skilled. They're very, very competitive. And then there's just an unbelievable edge to those guys that they play with. They're excited to be here. They're excited to be in the States. They know how to have fun. We've got a lot of big personalities on this team that are Balkans, and it's been a joy to have them. A lot of fun to coach them.
What's it like going into the living room of Peja Stojakovic, Brad?
You're in awe. Right? You know, I mean, the guy comes on his visit and with Andre, and he, you know, he steps on the court and hasn't touched a ball and just nails 13 straight from the corner.
Come on. Come on. And you're really? Like, really?
And yeah. It's a joke. And I mean, he just like, nobody does that. And, but I, you know, I had great admiration for him, and it was, I spent some time in Belgrade this summer doing a clinic, and you don't realize how big he is over there. He's the Michael Jordan of that part of the world and European basketball, and his success is early, but just a great human being. He's done an incredible job of letting Andre be Andre and not Peja's son. And I've got great respect for him for that. And they're different players, and they've got a great family, and his wife is wonderful and supportive, and it's just been awesome.
I was going to say, Brad, you know, Brad Underwood, Illini coach right here, Fighting Illini coach here on the Rich Eisen Show, watching and seeing him in the stands and just looking like he could give me a few minutes right now. You're telling me he made 13 from the corner.
Yeah, he just walks in the gym cold and
unreal.
You know, and I think he's more worried about, you know, where his next tennis match is going to be. Yes. And you know, if he's just laid back and, you know, the guy's career ended a little premature because of injury, but, you know, you just don't walk into a gym and haven't touched a ball in a while and just make 13 in a row. And I think 10 of them didn't even hit the rim. So it's, he's got a gift, that's for sure.
Well, so does his son. And then, you know, another player of note for you, interesting that you say you're from Kansas, and Keaton Wagler, found by your son, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Jay Billis was telling this story about the kid, let me get this right, from Shawnee Mission Northwest in Shawnee, Kansas, which is probably not a large population. Can you tell me this story?
Yeah, it's a suburb of Kansas City, and he played for an AAU coach that Victor Williams, who played at Oklahoma State and had gotten to know. I spent a lot of time in that area, obviously, you know, it was kind of it's not a shoe company AAU team and kind of off the beaten path, so to speak. But, we start watching film on this kid, and he's winning a state championship. He's Mr. Basketball as a junior. And, you know, you see the obvious. He can really shoot it. He's you know, can pass it. And my son goes to see him and just falls in love with him. The first we signed him, and I had not seen him play in person. So we go to see him play the night before in a tournament. He had like 36. And the night I go to see him, he has two. and I walked out of the gym, and I was all smiles, and I called Tyler, And I said, we just found an absolute gem. And the team they played was a high profile prep school team. And they trapped him and blitzed him. They had five high major players on their team. And he never forced it. He never tried to be selfish or got out of character. He just made every right play. And there's tremendous maturity in what he did that night. And I just fell in love with him. And then here we are, you know, a year later, and he's MVP of the South region.
Unbelievable. What a story. Brad Underwood here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, of course, you're scouting your next opponent since you were the first through. Tell me how you watched the end of UConn-Duke, Coach.
I missed it. What? Well, let me rephrase it.
You might be the only one in America. What?
Wow. Yeah, so I'm doing – my SID's to blame. Okay. I got to throw Derek Burson under the
okay.
bus.
Okay, okay. All right.
He's got me doing Zooms, media Zooms.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And so I'm doing Zooms, and I don't have the game on. Now, I'm doing the Zooms, and meanwhile, my staff would kind of poke their head in, and it would be Duke thumbs up, and, you know, and so I'm not watching it. And then on top of that, we got a young man on campus, a recruit on campus as well. So I literally get done, and I walk down to meet the recruit, and everybody's just freaking out. And then I see all the highlights. And so, yeah, it's I can honestly say I was not watching.
Okay. So when you saw it, what's your takeaway from it?
Epic. The first thing I thought of seriously was Christian Laettner.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's in the same category. And then I felt bad for John, and we recruited Boozer, and know what a wonderful young guy that is, and just a tough play. But, you know, and then I think March Madness, and that's why it's got the name Madness. Anything can happen, and everything's crazy, and you know, you give Bobby a lot of credit, or Danny, excuse me,
sure,
a ton of credit for not letting those kids quit down, you know, almost 20. But we played them earlier in the year. We know how good they are, and nothing shocks me with them.
Yeah. And so you've got some tape, you've got some experience. What's your first blush thoughts on the matchup here?
Yeah, they're all hard. Sure. You know, I've taken the approach, whether it was Houston, whether it was, it didn't matter who it was, VCU, every team is hot or has had a great year, and you're going to have to play well. And we're a different team. They're a different team than we were in November in the Garden. You know, Keaton Wagler played 10 minutes in that game. David Mirkovich wasn't much more. You know, we were still trying to find ourselves. Andre Stojakovic had only been back a game, coming off an ankle injury. Tomislava Visic had tonsillitis and missed 16 practices. He was just getting back. And it was his first game back. So we were a shell of ourselves. But that's a heck of a basketball team with a lot of experience, led by one of my favorite players in the country, in Caravan. You know what? You're going to have to play well if you want to win.
You know, and Coach, you know, I'm a Michigan grad. So let's take a moment for us here. Five Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16, half of the Elite Eight, now half of the Final Four. What does that tell you?
Great, great, great league. And I've said this many times. I think it's the best basketball league in the country, year in and year out. I think it's everything's a little bit cyclical. I think the Big Ten this year is having the year that the SEC had last year. It's an older league. It was a league with great guard play. It's great coaching, but the Big Ten is spectacular. And night in and night out, every building's sold out. The crowds are fantastic. They're intelligent. I just think this league's a fun league to be a part of. And it doesn't matter top to bottom. Every night is a heck of a street fight when you have to go play on the road.
Yeah. maybe we could turn this tournament into a Big Ten championship. Huh? What do you think about that idea?
I will sign up for that right now. You won't have to convince me. I'm in. UConn and Arizona are going to have a little say in that.
I bet.
But the league was fantastic, and it's finally getting some of the respect, and we've gotten a lot of criticism for not winning one in a while. But we've had a lot of teams there, and hopefully this year's the year.
All right. Well, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Congrats on your journey, and congrats on everything that's gone on for you and your family. And I can't believe you missed that finish yesterday. Totally understand you throwing your SID under the bus. You're the coach.
He deserves it.
The tire tracks are there. But, yes. Man, thank goodness for recording equipment, right?
That's exactly. Believe me, I've seen it plenty already. But I appreciate you having me, Rich.
You bet. Thanks for coming on here. And like I said, congrats on cutting down those nets. And we'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
You bet. That's Brad Underwood, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, holding up that South Regional Championship trophy right there. And then he goes home and he's got to recruit. He's got to do media. Who else missed that final moments? Not many other human beings.
That's crazy.
I know. Where were you? Were you home?
Outside. We were hanging out in the hot tub and.
Nice. Hot tub television.
Well, master
Holy
flex.
Crap.
Damn. Yeah.
Drop a bomb on him.
Look at you.
I don't know.
Where were you?
On the couch, just stressing.
I bet.
Woke up the neighbors with a scream.
Oh, yeah. I said some stuff I can't say on Disney.
Really?
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I could hear as soon as I said it after that three went in, I heard my upstairs neighbor. You literally run to her balcony door like, what happened out there?
What'd you say earlier? You got in my ear because Billis was like, you wondered what the win possibility.
Oh, yeah. Billis was like, I wondered what the win probability was.
Right.
And so ESPN has it on the GameCast page.
Right.
With 6 seconds left.
Yeah.
Right before Caden Boozer turned it over.
Unreal.
It was 10% win probability for Connecticut or on the turnover.
I would think that's even high.
Maybe it was right as he turned it over. That's the lowest point of the game for UConn.
That sounds a little high. I thought to myself, this thing's over.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, this thing is over.
So as the second half started.
70-66 with 51 seconds to go and the possession not going UConn's way, I thought that thing was a wrap.
At the start of the second half, it was 3.4% when the score was 44-29.
Damn.
I texted TJ and Adam. They had got it to 5 at 67-62.
Yes.
I'm like, you guys nervous?
Then they made it a 2-point game.
Well, then they immediately got an N1 after that.
Right.
And TJ did respond with a nah.
Adam said, yeah, immediately. I held on and I was like, nah, I shouldn't have sent that. I shouldn't.
It's your fault.
I don't know. As soon as I sent no or nah.
You're like, nah. And I can see you saying it too. You're like, nah. Mm-hmm. Immediate N1 to cut it to 2. Well, what a game.
My three words for that, right?
That's a shame.
I was expecting a lot more out of you, Texas.
No, it's all right. I know it hurts.
That's why I was expecting it.
I know it hurts.
That's a shame.
We had him do it. That's one of my favorite drops. I might have sent that to 5 different text chains yesterday.
Nice. Oh.
As you should have.
I believe that.
844-204 Rich, number to dial. The awesome director, Antoine Fuqua, is going to be joining us in hour number 3. We got to go down a training day wormhole as well with him, as you all know. That's still to come here on The Rich Eisen Show. In my line of work, I'm fortunate enough to travel quite a bit covering the biggest moments through the football season. While I'm on the road, I sometimes miss the comforts of home, which is why when I travel with my family, we always check Airbnb for places to stay. It's our home away from home, providing the comfort and safety that allows us to wind down and relax.
Families like mine are looking for homes that fit their needs to make new memories in, and your home may be exactly what they're looking for. If you're looking to save up for a new addition to your house or a once-in-a-lifetime trip to see your favorite band in another country, for instance, hosting your house on Airbnb could help you reach those goals. It's easy to list your home for short trips or extended periods of time, allowing your house to earn you some extra money. Make your home work for you while you're away and enjoy the benefits of hosting on Airbnb. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech, or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
So does your time. Hiring can quickly become overwhelming. From sorting applications to figuring out who's truly qualified, that's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro helps. It streamlines the process so you can focus on connecting with the right candidates, not managing the noise. Hire right the first time, folks. Post your job, your first job, and get $100 off towards your job post at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. So, you know what I like the most around here?
Being right.
Oh, God, it's so great. I don't have to be, but when it happens... It's just great. And I'm living my best life right now. Like I told you, Michigan makes the Final Four by curb-stomping Tennessee after Bruce Pearl says we can't punk them, and then we do. And then Duke gets Leitnered in front of the whole country on the same day. For a Michigan fan?
Pretty good day.
For a Michigan man like me?
Right.
That's good stuff. Oh, and then on top of it, I felt a breeze while watching the game outside. Had no idea it was Bo Bichette's bat from Queens.
Oh.
So it's all working. It's all working for me right now. Yanks 3-0. Just wondering, you know, when it's all going to go maybe the other direction. Not yet. It will, but not yet.
Man, you're going to cause a lot of people to root against
you. Nope, I am not, sir. Rule resolution proposal number 2 at this year's owners meeting by Cleveland to allow draft selections to be traded up to 5 seasons in the future.
Great idea. Love
what
it.
A terrible idea. Come it is. On. Terrible idea. Awful idea. Sean McVay even said today it's dead on arrival. And I even said when I heard it the first time and said it was terrible. The only thing I was wrong about it, I'm like, of course it's Cleveland because they want to get as many draft choices as they possibly can get for the guy that they're going to or they're going to. They need as many draft choices in the future to go trade for the wrong guy. And I'm like, well, maybe they've got it. Maybe I've got it all wrong. Maybe they're like, we're going to eventually trade Myles Garrett. And this way we can get the most draft choices we can for Myles Garrett. Well, I said when I first heard this, not only is it a terrible idea. You remember what I said? I said, this won't even make it to ownership.
Yeah. You did say that.
Tom Pelissero reporting during the last hour.
Oh.
Everybody, our friend Tommy P, the Browns have withdrawn the rules change proposal.
You cowards.
It's not even making it to ownership. But nice try. Gave us something to talk about for a week plus. Yeah. That's what happens.
What if they bring this back, but you can't trade first or second round picks? You can trade third through seventh 5 years out.
Okay.
What if they amend it a little bit? You want teams to save them. We want to save them from themselves. Yeah. Right, so let's do this. Let's
cares?
Save them from themselves.
Oh yeah. Oh, I got a sixth round pick 4 years from now. Isn't that great?
What do you mean? They do it all the time.
Please.
They swap seventh rounders. It means nothing.
Or it's all working just fine. It's okay. It's fine. We don't have to change it. As for the trading of Myles Garrett, Andrew Berry, the general manager, who I imagine was the brainchild of this rule proposal, says just because they amended his contract does not mean they are trading Myles Garrett a Brown for life.
I think you guys know, like, standard practice, I don't comment on player contracts. I guess probably the easiest thing to say is if we wanted to trade Myles, we wouldn't have needed to make a contract adjustment, so it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Why did you do it?
So again, I don't comment on player contracts. I understand the question and the interest, but it's just something that we've always felt not to comment on player contracts or contract management strategy.
So can you state unequivocally that you're not trading Myles Garrett?
I'd say this, Mary Kay. Myles is a career Brown. He is one of the faces of our organization. I think we've been very clear, both past and present, in terms of our feelings. So I understand all the questions. I'll be honest, I don't really want to waste a ton more breath on the topic.
Yeah. Sure. But you feel like you guys are in a good spot with Myles?
We do.
Yeah, yeah.
That was higher register.
No.
We're in a good spot.
I don't know. Listen. Why would they trade Myles Garrett?
To get out from paying him.
Unless they can afford him. It's not like that they're cap hamstrung. They're not. So why would they trade him? They don't have to. Unless somebody calls them up and offers them as many draft choices as they now legally can, which is the same as it ever was. Mm. Which is why he's not saying, yeah, we're not trading him. He's a career Brown. It's like he flipped over his football card and started saying, oh, yeah, he's been on the Browns his entire career. Oh, yeah, he's the leader in sacks. Oh, yeah,
sure.
We love him.
Sure.
He's a beloved Brown, like he flipped over his football card.
He's 6'7".
Yeah.
Pounds.
It was a first overall selection.
He was born in Texas.
You know?
Where's
why would they don't have to, they don't have to trade this superhero. Look at him. It's absurd.
His arms don't even look real.
Honestly, he makes Aaron Donald look like Gumby, damn it. So,
ooh, I don't know about
seriously,
that.
I know that.
Oh, he's like a supersized Donald.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they don't have to do it. They don't have to do it. And so, and his answer was the reason why we redid his contract, you know, to push a bonus later on, shouldn't be read into that as that they're clearing the decks to trade him, because we could trade him without doing that. I know that. Yeah, you'd have to pay him the roster bonus. So if you're going to trade somebody, why would you be a few million in the kitty for it? Whatever. He doesn't want to waste breath on it. Then we won't either. But the one thing we don't have to waste our breath on anymore is one of the worst rules proposals resolutions I've seen in a long time.
I want to write this down because I think
a long time. This thing is gone.
You're going to
see you later.
I think.
See you later. Five first-round draft
March
choices.
30th.
Could you imagine?
Yes, there are some quarterbacks that are worth that.
No.
I'm going to write this down.
Nobody's worth
five first-round. Let's trade for a kid right now who's in high school.
Yeah.
In a draft that we have no idea where the draft choice is going to land or just how deep it is as a draft. Let's do that.
Class of 31.
Absurd. Positively absurd. Antoine Fuqua is coming up in hour three.
I think it's
the Rich Eisen Show podcast from 30 for 30 podcasts.
Did you say someone got shot?
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.